Man, I love this church. If I was a little closer, y'all couldn't get rid of me. I mean, I look. One of the things, when I pull up, how many other churches, you drive by them, you know, on a Sunday morning for Sunday school, you can't find a parking spot. How many other churches you know like that? I'm talking about way out here in the country. You know, hey, man. And then you come in, and all up you guys up here singing. How many churches you go to, you got women. And I ain't against women. I love women. I'm married to one. But I love to see men serving and singing and faithfully active in the work of God, and you got that here at Zion Hill Free Will Baptist Church, and I really appreciate you guys. You mean a lot to me. You know, I'm Free Will Baptist. I was born and raised Free Will Baptist. I'll never get it out of me. I don't want to. Though, how many of you know Shot Sellers? Y'all know Brother Shot? On the way out of Moultrie this morning, I was just kind of thumbing through the radio, and I heard Shot Sellers on the radio. I listened to Brother Shot this morning preach the gospel for about 25, 30 minutes before the station tuned out on me. I love my heritage and where I come from. I appreciate the question. Now, I was interested when Brother Key said somebody's asking why we haven't Mitch back again. My ears kind of tuned up. I wanted to hear what he said. Because I've asked myself that same question. Why do they keep calling me back? So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe it's just because I love you and you love me and that's enough. I was thinking about, because revival, when you say revival, you have a mindset of what's going to happen, right? Those of us raised in church anyway, you know, you expect some sure enough foot stomping preaching. And I can do that. I can do that. But I may not do that this week, all right? Because I love preaching. I love the inspired truth of God's word, and I love the passion that often is associated with preaching the word of God. And I still love to do that. But guys, what I'm more concerned about at this point in my ministry is seeing people's lives impacted and changed for the long run. And I've been to a lot of good revival services where you get all pumped up, woohoo! And then by Wednesday the next week, what's going on? You're right back where you came from. And I'm much more interested this week, guys, in challenging you to really look at what's going on in your life that's keeping you from being able to continue to move forward in your relationship with God. I'm fully convinced, John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give you life, that life more abundantly. I believe that it's possible for every one of us as his children to live the abundant life every day of our life, nothing withstanding. I believe that. But I also believe, as Jesus said in John 10, that there's a thief that wants to come and steal and kill and destroy. And that is often the reason why we're not living in the abundance that Jesus intends for us to live in. We, as a church, can I say it this way, are woefully ignorant of how the enemy causes breakdown in our relationship with God, in our relationship with ourselves, in our relationship with other people. Now, Keith mentioned that I did teach a couple years ago through the RESTORED acronym, and that is just the foundation of everything I live off of, guys. It's the filter that I look at life through. So if you weren't here for that or hadn't been able to listen to that, I do recommend that you get those CDs. And I agree with Keith, take them. I'm not concerned about the money. I want you to get the truth. But that is a foundation that I want to build off of even yet again to this week, because it's just how I see life. So I want to very briefly run back through that RESTORED acronym for you. That be all right? I hope it is, because I'm going to do it anyway. All right? The first R in the RESTORED acronym stands for relationship. And that's right out of the Great Commandment, where we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. Y'all know that scripture. It's not a new one, right? That is, I believe, the absolute foundation of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is built on love and relationship. My relationship with God, my relationship then with myself, how I see myself, feel about myself. I got to come to agree with God about Mitch Griffin. And God thinks I'm awesome. Amen? Now, you may not think you're awesome. We're going to deal with some of that this week. But you've got to learn to agree with God about yourself. And then your relationships with others are going to take on an entirely different level once you see yourself as the gift to humanity that God did for you to be. You know you're a gift? I'm a gift. I walk in Walmart and I'm a gift. I'm looking for somebody in Walmart to just pour out the love of God on. That's what I am. That's my purpose. That's what I exist for. And you do too. Guys, it's very simple. Relationship is the number one priority. The E of the restored acronym is the enemy. We've got an enemy that does want to come cause breakdown in my relationship with myself, in my relationship with God, myself, and others. That kingdom is at work. What I'm going to do this week is try to expose a little more of the mindset of that kingdom that wants to cause breakdown. The S of restored is the separation element. We've got to learn how to separate ourselves from the influence of sin in our life. Are you sin? You got to get this, guys. You're not sin. The Bible says that Jesus was going to separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. If he's taking something away from us and removing it from us, must not be us. Amen? So I've got to learn how to separate myself from the influence of sin. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't have the influence of sin? I promise you, a major part of what I do as I minister to people one-on-one is help them to discern the source of their thoughts. Who told you? Every time I come back, I love it because somebody asked me that question. Every time I walk in the door, who told you? That is the key to me. Guys, we've got to stop and think about who is communicating to us in our thoughts and in our feelings and separate ourselves from the things that are not our Father. Three basic questions. Again, you know them. First question, is this God? Is this how God taught you? Is this how God, is this God speaking to you? Is it his nature? Is it his character? Does it match his word? If not, it's not God. Is this how God has created you to think, to feel, to speak, to act? If it's not God, it's not how he created you to be. You're created in his image. You're created in his likeness. You're created to be like him, to think like him, to speak like him, to act like him without sin. Amen? So if it's not God and it's not how God created you to be, who is it? It's your enemy. This is basic stuff I already taught you. The next process is T, thoughts, and that's just taking those thoughts captives. O, walk in obedience to God and not the devil. Are you obedient to the devil sometime? Come on now. I'm going to show you, just a few minutes, I'm going to show you how we are obedient to the enemy in a lot of ways and we don't even know it. We're going to focus on something specific this week so that we can learn then to repent. Repentance, guys, is a change of mind that results in a change of action. You ever tried to change action? You, like me, just wore yourself out trying to change a certain behavior and find yourself just falling right back into it? That's because we've not been taught that in order to change behavior, I got to change the way I'm thinking. I've got to come into agreement with God and God's truth so that I can begin to change behavior. Repentance is important. The E, the final E, is exercise. We got to do this. That's why I'm glad you're bringing me back, Keith, because you continue to reinforce the principles that you've already heard, that you already understand, but you've got to continue to do it. Put it into practice. And the D then is door points. We'll talk more about that this week. It's those points of entry of where the enemy has brought his way of thinking into our life. There's things that have happened to each one of us that has given the enemy an opportunity to begin to implant ways of thinking, speaking, and acting into our life. We've got mindsets that have been established by Satan's kingdom, not by God's kingdom, and they must be recognized so that we can take responsibility for them and we can begin to repent and turn from them and get them out of our life. Amen. That's a good place for one. Thank you, brother. So, that was my introduction. This week, what I want to talk about is the concept of rejection. Anybody in this room ever been rejected? Raise your hand. Every one of us have. There's a big difference, guys, in the act of rejection and the mindset of rejection. What I mean by that is just because you have been rejected doesn't necessarily mean that you have accepted the mindset that now you are worthy of rejection. Does that make sense? You can be rejected and you turn around and think, that person's absolutely crazy. Why in the world would they want to reject me? I'm awesome. You've not received the spirit of rejection, right? But you've been rejected. Rejection is a big deal, and I want us to take some time this week to really look at it. As far as I'm concerned, those of you who've kind of been following along with my teaching, all the stuff we've talked about. Last time I was with you, we looked at accusation. We looked at bitterness. We looked at self-pity. You know, those components of the mindset of Satan's kingdom are at work. And far as I'm concerned, that, along with envy and jealousy and all the other mess the enemy wants to bring into our life, culminates in this mindset of rejection. The enemy's end game, he really wants to bring you to a place where you believe that you are rejected. We sing songs about God and how much God loves us and how much we want to change from the inside out. And I love the songs. I love it. But when you leave church and you get back into the reality of life and you're walking through the issues of life, do you really believe that you are loved, accepted, valued by God? Or is there a mindset of rejection that has been established by the kingdom in your life? To a certain degree, I'd be willing to bet you all of us at some level deal with the mindset of rejection. And I want to help us this week identify it and talk about some ways to come out from under it. How about that? Is that all right? I hope so, because that's what we're going to do. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices." You got to turn there, just jot it down if you want to take the note. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. That's what Paul says, but is it true of you? Is it true that you are not ignorant, that there's no level of ignorance anywhere in your life of how the enemy is at work? Do you know his game plan? Do you know his methods, his strategies, his schemes to come at you? Are you aware and not ignorant? Guys, the truth is we're not. Can I say it this way? I'm operating at my current level of ignorance. And so are you. Every one of us in this room is operating at our current level of ignorance. Now, I pray your level of ignorance decreases throughout today's time together. And if you keep coming back throughout the rest of the week, that level of ignorance should drop. That's my aim. That's my goal this week. I could come in here and I could preach and I could get you all stirred up with passion and zeal. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But my primary objective by the time we end this thing on Wednesday night is that you are less ignorant of how the enemy has ensnared you and entrapped you in your life so that you can walk in more abundance and in more freedom by the time we leave here on Wednesday night. That's my objective. Hosea 4:6, God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject them." We need understanding. We need knowledge. Are you with me? Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I love this verse because it's true. There's ways of thinking that seem right to you. You'll fight me to the death on them because they seem right. But is that way that seems right leading you to life abundant, or is it leading you to death? That's really the question. Guys, I'm going to challenge you this week. I'm going to challenge you to think about what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Because the truth is, every one of us are living out of mindsets that we believe. You don't live out of lies that you know are lies. You live out of a mindset and a way of thinking that you believe is truth and that you believe is right, or you wouldn't do it. Does that make sense? But sometimes those ways of thinking that seem right to us lead us to death and not life. Finally, another scripture, Ephesians 6:11 and 12. I use this one all the time. You know I do. Verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That's his methods, strategies, tricks. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are going to go to battle this week. And your battle's not with yourself. Your battle is not with any other human being. Your battle is with an invisible spiritual kingdom that is at work in the earth today, even right here in Millwood, in this building. It's here. That's our battle. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be revealed so that you and I can have more freedom over it. Are you with me? So again, I ask you, have you ever been rejected? We all have. Every one of us in this room has been rejected. Has it affected you? Yes, it has. We'll talk about some ways in a little bit. The Bible also tells us that our Savior Jesus, by the way, this is Palm Sunday, right? You know what Palm Sunday is? We celebrate the triumphal entry. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem and everybody's singing and praising and cutting off palm branches and laying them down in his path and Hosanna to the highest and praise be to he who comes in the name of the God. That's what we're celebrating on Palm Sunday. But what happened in just a week now? Just a few days, what happens to Jesus? All those people who were praising him, all those people who were validating him and honoring him and worshiping him, what do? They rejected him. The Bible tells us that Jesus, as our high priest, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Guys, I want you to understand, Jesus knows rejection very well. He's experienced it, he has felt it, he's gone through the act of being rejected at a level none of us in this room can even begin to compare to. So Jesus is our example of how to deal with rejection. Isaiah 53:3 tells us this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was despised and rejected of men. Jesus was rejected. But did Jesus have a spirit of rejection? No. Have you been rejected? Yes, sir. But the question still remains, do you possibly have a spirit of rejection? Because I got to tell you, we're going to expose this, but I want to go ahead and say this. When you're rejected enough, especially by those people who're supposed to love you, those people who're supposed to be the ones to speak validation and honor and call out your true identity, when you're rejected enough by those people, you often begin to believe it. You often begin to receive it and come into a mindset that there is something wrong with you, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy, that you'll never really ever be accepted and approved. Anybody in this room have trouble when someone shows you acceptance and love receiving it? You ain't got to raise your hand. I know you do. Why? Because there's a spirit of rejection that has infiltrated this world and yes, even the church, where we sing praises to God and we talk about how we're accepted and loved of God, but we don't live out of that truth. We live out of a lie. We live out of a mindset by a spirit of rejection in our life that, yes, I know what the Bible says, but. Amen. I want to help you get rid of your buts. Amen. Can we get rid of some buts? Because can I tell you what the but is? The but's a lie. The but is a mindset that has been established in your life by your enemy. And the only way to get rid of the lie is to expose the lie and replace it with truth. And that's what I want to do this week. This word rejected. I'm a word guy. Those of you who've been around me know I love to study words. Rejected. In the Hebrew, 3988 says this, to spurn, to disappear, abhor, cast off, cast away, despise, disdain, become loathsome, melt away, refuse, reject, reprobate, utterly vile person. Is that you? Is that you? Are you rejected? Have you been spurned to the point where you just feel like you disappear? Have you been cast away, cast off? Sure you have. Every one of us have. Some more definitions. This is fun, isn't it? Vacant, that is ceasing or destitute. He that forbeareth, frail, rejected. Out of your Greek, to disapprove, to repudiate, to disallow, to reject. Another Greek word, to set aside, to disesteem, to neutralize, to violate, to cast off, despise, disannul, frustrate, bring to naught, reject. I like this one, Greek 1609, to spit out. You ever we were in Valdosta Saturday. And when y'all go to Sam's, anybody else get the $1.50 hot dog? I mean, you can't beat that, right? So I go get my $1.50 Nathan's hot dog, and I rock over there. I'm going to get me some of that lemonade. And I throw my cup up under the lemonade, and it gets full. I get the big cup, too. I got a big old full cup of lemonade. I'm ready. I love lemonade. You ever done this? And you go and you get your big old mouth full of that lemonade, but it ain't lemonade. You know what I'm talking about? What do? You spit it out. That's exactly what this word's saying. And guys, that's happened to some of you. Not in a cup, but that's happened to you. You've been in that place where you thought you were being accepted. You thought you were being approved. You thought that now you finally found someone who would love you and accept you and honor you and value you. And what happened to you? You got spit out. We ain't having fun yet. But guys, we got to be honest. We got to be real. Because you don't go through those kind of experiences in life and just shrug it off and act like nothing happened. Something did happen. And there is a kingdom of sin that loves those opportunities because it wants to come right in behind the act of rejection and calls you now to agree with it that you are rejected. That you're worthy of being rejected. That there's something about you that is just never going to be good enough. God nor anybody else can ever really love you. So, we'll talk about the so in a minute. All kind of things happen. You with me? One more. Unapproved, rejected, worthless, cast away. Now, I'm Sunday morning. Palm Sunday, talking about this. What's wrong with me? But guys, if you're going to get free, you've got to know what it is you're dealing with. Amen? Webster's Dictionary. I love the old 1828. You can get it on your app. It's easy. Here's what Webster's Dictionary says. The definition of reject: to throw away as anything useless or vile, to cast off, to forsake, to refuse to receive, to slight, to despise, to refuse to accept. So I want to help you this morning. And I want to call this an introduction to the strategy of rejection. Because what I'm about to enter into now, I'm not talking about the act of rejection. You're never going to avoid that. I don't care who you are, you're going to be rejected. Count on it. It may happen again today before you get home. Rejection is coming. The act of rejection is going to take place. But there is a mindset that your kingdom of sin, your enemy, wants to establish in your heart and in your life as a result of the act of rejection. Are you with me? The truth is, your enemy is rejected, not you. He's the one who's been rejected. He's the one who was created perfect. I taught you this. In the E, he was the one who was an archangel. He was the one who was created perfect. He was the one who was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the one who was set in that position of power and authority by a loving Father who created him. He was the one who rebelled against God. He was the one who purposed in his heart that he would be like the Most High God. He was the one who decided that he wanted to go his own way and not God's way. And what happened to him? He was rejected. Why? Because he wanted to be rejected. That was his purpose, to turn against God and to go against God. Guys, your enemy is the one who is rejected. And now he wants to bring you into agreement with how he thinks, how he sees God. How does the devil see God? What does he think about your father? What does he think about you? What does he think about everybody else in this room? And he wants to bring you into agreement that God, your Father, doesn't really love you, doesn't really accept you, doesn't really care about you. He wants you to believe
that you are worthy to be thrown away, that you are useless, that you are vile, that you need to be rejected. But that's him. Are you with me? He was created perfectly, but now he is utterly rejected. He wants your end to be like his. Guys, rejection is one of the primary tools of the enemy to cause breakdown in your relationship with God, yourself, and others. I got to just tell you this. If someone rejects you in your life, they are in agreement with the enemy, not God. You ever been rejected? Yes, you have. That individual who rejected you was in agreement with Satan and his kingdom, not with God and his. That individual who spewed you out of their mouth, that individual who said you were vile and unworthy and not ready to be accepted, they were in agreement with the devil, not God. We've got to get this. We've got to come to that place of understanding that people sometimes listen to the devil. Even me. Even you. And when they operate out of a mindset of rejection towards you, that's not from God. That's from Satan and his kingdom. Are you with me? Our experiences of being rejected are used as points of entry by the enemy to bring us then into a spirit of rejection and all the other devices of the enemy that we previously discussed. All this stuff. In this teaching, we will see how our enemy seeks to use all of these devices working together in order to destroy our identity as well as our ability to give and receive love. Rejection wants to destroy your identity. There's three very important questions I want to answer for you this week. The first one is this. Who are you? You really want to get a great conversation started sometime? Ask somebody out for coffee. Sit down across the table, look at them dead in the eye, say, tell me, who are you? Who are you? Or asking it personally, who am I? Who am I? A lot of times folks say, well, I'm a lineman. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a carpenter. I'm a whatever. They tell you about all these things they do. That ain't what I'm asking you. Who are you? Rejection absolutely destroys the answer to that question. This is uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable. But I want to bring you to a place where you can answer the question, who are you? Second question, what is your purpose? Who am I? What is my purpose? Do you have a purpose? Do you know why you're on this planet? Do you know why you exist? Do you know why God created you and put you here? It wasn't for your job. It wasn't for the roles that you play. There is a sense of identity and purpose that God wants each and every one of us to know. But rejection has destroyed it. Finally, third question, does anybody really care? These are the questions every one of us deal with. We don't sit down at Sunday dinner and talk about them. But who am I? Why am I here? And does anybody care? You know why you struggle with those three questions? Because of rejection. Because of the mindset of rejection that has taken place because of all the hurts and failures of your past. Rejection has come and created a mindset that wants to destroy you in your identity, in your ability to both give and receive love in relationship with God, with yourself, and with others. And in order for us to change, in order for us to be restored and to walk in the freedom that God intends for us to have, is absolutely critical that we're willing to face and deal with the issues of life that have allowed the enemy to cause this in our life. There's some stuff going on in your life you ain't never talked to nobody about. Maybe you ain't never talked to God about. You know what I do on a daily basis? I teach this kind of stuff, then I try to help people. I said, all right, let's just get real. Talk to me. Let's talk about the issues of life. Let's talk about what's happened. Because I guarantee you guys, the things that have taken place to you in your life, the enemy has used them to bring you ways of thinking, speaking, and acting that do not match what God has to say in his word. The enemy wants to convince you that you are rejected, that you are vile, that you are ready to be thrown away. You're useless. You're good for nothing. You deserve to be cast out. You deserve to be cast off. And there's no way anybody, including God, will ever really love you. That's what he wants. He gives us a false sense of reality. There's a way that seems right unto a man. The sense of reality that many of you are living under is false. It's not true. And out of that false sense of reality, you've become separated from God and his love. You've become separated from yourself and who you are in your identity. And you're separated from other people. You're petrified to let them in. You're petrified that they're going to find out what who you really are, what's really going on inside. And if they ever see that, they're going to tuck tail and run the other way. That's rejection. That's a mindset of rejection that is ruling in way too many Christians' lives. Are you with me? I know y'all ain't having fun, but I am. Because of our wounds and our hurts, it's offered us defense mechanisms that promise to keep us safe from further pain, but it actually only imprisons us further and keeps us from what we so desperately need, that's true love and true intimacy with God and with others. I told you, first principle, guys, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. That relationship with God is what you desperately need. And out of that, you've got to have right relationship with yourself, and you need other people. This whole mindset that I'm self-reliant and independent and I can do it on my own, I don't need anybody, that's straight out of the pits of hell. God created you with needs. You know what a need is? A need is something you can't do for yourself. That's not weakness. That's not inferiority. That is the way God has designed us, because the only way I'm ever going to be whole is when I open up my heart and life to a God who has promised to meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And he's going to do that through himself, and he's going to do that through other people. Keith Lloyd has met needs in my life that no other man has ever met. I do know how much you love me, and I love you the same way. Why? Because I have opened my heart to this man, and he's opened his heart to me, and we've been able to meet needs within each other that no other man's ever been able to do. Why? Because there's real relationship. Guys, we're dying. We're withering on the vine because we don't have real relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. Why? Because of this rejection mindset. It's stealing and killing and destroying you from the inside out. Are you with me? Henry Wright describes rejection as being characterized in four ways, and I love this. Number one, a sense of being unwanted. Just a sense of being unwanted. You ever just kind of walk in a place and just know that you're not wanted? That's rejection. That is a mindset of rejection that the enemy has established in your life as a result of whatever's gone on in the past. It's here. A sense of being unwanted. Number two, the agony of desperately wanting people to love you but being convinced that they don't. That's rejection. I really need you to. I really want you to. I know I need you to. But I'm absolutely convinced that there's no way that you will. That's a mindset of rejection. Are you with me? Come on, guys, I know this isn't fun. And I may run off half of you, but that's all right. If you don't want to come back, don't come back. The other half, y'all come back and we'll get rid of this mess, all right? I'm putting pressure on you, I know. So now if you don't show up, you can, boy, he thinks I don't want. Just come back if you can. I'm messing with you. Number three. An inability to believe or receive acceptance or love when it is given. This is rejection mindset. I'm a hugger. I love hugging people. And I do this sometimes, and I'm telling you now, so if I ever do it to you, you know what I'm doing. Yesterday, we had a birthday party for my Levi, my oldest. There's a little girl come up to give me a hug, and I said, I said, all right, I got a rule. I'm going to hold on till you're done. That's my rule. And this little girl, I know her situation. She needs some hugs. She needs some love. And I really expected her just to real quickly break that embrace. Honestly, I didn't think she's going to let go. And the longer she held on, the more I was about to lose it. An inability to receive love when it is given. Come on, I know what I'm talking about, and you know too. Are you there? Do you have that mindset, that way of thinking, that when it is given, there's something inside of you just squirms? You love it, you want it, you need it, but when it comes, you just want to do everything you can to make it stop. That is a spirit of rejection that has established itself in your heart and in your life. That's robbing you of relationship with God. It's robbing you of the right relationship with yourself in your true identity, and it's robbing you of real relationship with others that will set you free and change the course of your direction. You with me? Number four, a desire to be a part of something but never feeling like you are. I think Henry Wright's hit it out of the park here. Four characteristics that describe the mindset of rejection. Number one, a sense of being unwanted. Number two, the agony of desperately wanting people to love you but being convinced that they don't. Number three, an inability to believe or receive acceptance or love when it is given. And number four, a desire to be a part of something, but never feeling like you are. I call this series Exposing Satan's Devices. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, the next time somebody comes up and gives you a hug and you want to back out of it as quick as you can, I don't want you to be ignorant. That is rejection at work. I challenge you. Make it a rule in your life. That's why I made it a rule in mine, because I was the one wanting to back out of the hug. So I made it a rule. You hug me, I ain't letting go to you do. We might stand here till nightfall. I don't care. It's a rule. I'm going to fight against this mindset of rejection in my life. I'm not going to allow it to keep me out of real relationship again. I refuse. Guys, there's a scripture that comes to mind. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You must identify your enemy and violently oppose him. You with me? That might look like you hanging on to a hug, feeling just stupid as can be. I know I'm messing with you. I'm fixed to be done. Hang on. Romans 8, 14 to 15. Key scripture right here. Romans 8, 14 to 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You've not received the spirit of bondage to fear. Rejection produces fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of man, fear of what other people think, fear of what's going on, just all kinds of fear. Rejection produces fear. You've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the Bible tells you. You've not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've been given a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're contrasting here a spirit of rejection with a spirit of adoption. That's what Paul's doing. This spirit of adoption says you're wanted, you're loved, you're accepted, and you belong. That's what God says. You've been given the spirit of adoption. You're wanted, you're accepted, you're loved, and you belong. That's what God says. Are you with me? Now, we can sit here and we can shout about this, but let's just be honest. Which one do you really believe? Which one do you really operate of, out of, as truth in your life? A sense of being unwanted? Of desperately needing to be loved, but just convinced nobody's going to do it? Of not being able to receive love when it is given? A desire to be a part of something, but never feeling like you are? Is that what you're really operating out of? Or are you really operating out of the fact that God says you're wanted, you're loved, you're accepted, and you belong? Which one is really ruling in your life? I can say Jesus is Lord. I can say it all day long. I can put banners up and I can wave a flag, Jesus is Lord. But if Jesus is Lord of my life, that means I am going to walk in the truth that I am wanted, I am accepted, I am loved, and I belong because God says so. Now, I know I'm messing with you, but if you're going to get free, somebody's got to mess with you. What are you really operating out of as truth in your life? There is a way that seems right unto a man. It seems right that can't nobody love me. It seems right for me just to kind of withdraw and wall off and keep myself safe from any further pain. That seems right, but that's going to lead you to death. The truth is, you've not been given the spirit of bondage to fear. You've been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we can now cry, Abba, Daddy, Father, God. You're wanted, you're loved, you're accepted, and you belong. That's the truth that has to be replaced. The lie of the enemy must be replaced with this truth. That's what I want to help you do this week. I mean, I can preach it to you. That's why I love preaching. But it really doesn't help you for me just to tell you that. I want to spend the rest of the week showing you how to do that. Is that all right? I hope so, because that's what we're going to do. Psalm 27:10. I love this scripture. Because as I sit down with people, I can't tell you how many, I mean, there's a lady I'm talking with right now out of Virginia. She's a colonel. She works for the Department of Defense. I mean, got more degrees than I got understanding. I mean, just, this woman is smart. This woman's educated. But when we sit down and begin to talk, I can't. I'm not going to share with you what happened to her as a little girl. Her mama, her daddy, her granddaddy. What took place in her life? At 52 years old, she's a wreck. She's educated. She's a colonel. She's got all this stuff going on. But inside, she is absolutely terrified. And it's killing her from the inside out. Here's what I love. I love the scripture. Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now again, I can preach that. I'm coming here, woohoo, yeah, hallelujah. When your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord's going to take you up. That's truth, it's there. But do you believe that? Is that truth that you operate out of on a daily basis in your life? Your mother and father may have forsaken you. I wish we didn't have to talk about it, but it's in the Bible because it happens. We've all been rejected, sometimes by people that were very close to us. We may still have a relationship with them. It may be something that I'm still struggling with on the inside. I've never talked about, I've never looked at, I don't want to discuss it. And if that's the case, you probably ain't going to come back. But I encourage you to. Because, guys, it's not just going to go away. We can't just sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen. Act like it's okay. We've got to learn how to replace the mindset of rejection with the truth of God's word that you're loved, you're accepted, you're wanted, and you belong. I don't care who has rejected you. God's bigger. Amen. I don't care who has abandoned you. God's bigger. I don't care what has happened. Well, I do care. But it doesn't matter what's happened to you in your life. God is bigger. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. That's what Easter is all about. Is the fact that Jesus, not just that he died and rose again so that I can go to heaven when I die. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. But he died for much more than that. He died to destroy the works of the devil. And this is a work of the devil that's eating the lunch of way too many believers. Do you really believe that you can be delivered and set free from a spirit of rejection? Do you really believe that you can be delivered and set free so that you can walk in a daily basis out of the truth that you are loved, you are accepted, you are wanted, and you belong? It's true. It's possible.
I want to help you get there. I got 6 minutes. Y'all with me?
Very quickly. Defense mechanisms. All I'm trying to do today is just expose it. I wanted to give you a little hope so that I wasn't just wearing you out. But I want to expose it, okay? Defense mechanisms of rejection. When I've got this at work, when I've got a sense of unwantedness, when there's this agony of desperately wanting people to love me but just convinced that they're not, an inability to receive love when it is given to me, a deep desire to belong, but I just know that I don't. When that's in operation, what happens? There's some defense mechanisms, three of those, very quickly. Number one, withdrawal. I pull back. I isolate. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of rejection, and fear of abandonment coming out of rejection causes me to isolate, to withdraw. You've all done it. I know you have. But I want you to recognize that is the work of rejection in your life. It wants you to pull back. It wants you to isolate. It doesn't want you to push through into real relationship. It wants you to pull back. Does that make sense? Defense mechanism number one is withdrawal. Defense mechanism number two, exploding with rage and anger. Rejection will do one of these two things, I promise you. When you're in a situation, some kind of conflict, relationship, and something begins to go sideways, one of these two things is going to happen. If rejection's a mindset that you're operating out of, you're going to start to pull back and wall off. Shut your heart down and not let people close. Or you're going to explode in your rage and anger. It's going to happen. Am I the only one that saw on Facebook last week? I don't know who posted it. Some of y'all might have posted it. Some woman, I don't know where they were. But she just went ballistic on this couple. I mean, I think the man had kissed his girlfriend on the forehead, and she just went off. Anybody else see that? That's rejection at work. I wish you'd seen it to make more sense now that I said it. But, I mean, she just absolutely, I mean, just crazy, profanity-laced insanity. All on camera. You know what that is? That's rejection. Exploding in rage and anger. Why? Because I'm going to keep you away. If withdrawing doesn't do it, because I had to go through this, guys, with my wife. We celebrated 20 years anniversary last month. 20 years. Been the best 5 years of my life. Because I did a lot of this withdrawing stuff. But she was a stubborn woman. And she would continue to persist and pursue. What does that produce? Rage and anger. If withdrawing doesn't keep me safe from you, if somehow you got enough moxie about you to keep pursuing me in a relationship, I'm going to blow up. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to act a straight fool. Why? Because I'm already convinced you're going to leave anyway. So I'm going to do whatever it is I need to do to make you leave so it's your fault, not mine. Come on now, I'm just getting real. Defense mechanism, number two, exploding in rage and anger. Number three, creating fabricated personalities. Because I hate who I am, because I don't know who I am, because I've got a destroyed sense of identity, and I don't know who I am, I don't know what my purpose is, and I really don't know if anybody cares, I'm going to either withdraw, blow up in rage and anger, or I'm going to create some type of personality. Some type of identity. It's false. It's not real. I was really good at this one. I could be anything you wanted me to be, so you'd like me. But you know the problem with that is? Even if you like what I'm presenting to you, I know that it's not me. So you don't really like me. Does that make sense? This is the mindset of rejection at work, guys. Now, I know this isn't fun. I know it's not. But guys, do you want to be free? Do you really want something to change? Do you really want to be different? Or you just want to live like this for the rest of your life? I don't. That's why I've committed myself to doing this uncomfortableness every day of my life, with myself and with others. I need to shut her down. I know I do. But that's what rejection will do. It creates a mindset that you don't belong, you're unwanted, you desperately need love, but you're just convinced nobody's going to give it to you. There's an inability to receive the love when it is trying to be given, and you want to be a part, but you just know that you're not. As a result, we withdraw, we blow up in rage and anger, and we attempt to establish some kind of identity so that I'm okay with who I am. That's not the abundant life, guys. How do we change it? We'll talk more about it, but how do we change it is right here in Romans 8, 14 and 15. We've got to begin to operate out of a spirit of adoption rather than a spirit of bondage to fear and rejection. You're loved. You're accepted. You're wanted. And you belong. That's what God says. Who are you going to listen to? Why do you want to listen to a loser? Why do you want to listen to a kingdom that has already rebelled against God, that's fate is already sealed? Why do you want to agree with a rebellious kingdom that hates God and hates you? You've got to understand, this is that separation element. You've got to begin to separate yourself from this mindset of rejection. It's not God, it's not you, it is your enemy. You can recognize it, you can take responsibility for it, you can repent, and you can get it out of your life. And we can replace it with truth from God's word, and that's where we're headed. All right? So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we're in the season. You tell us in your word, you've commended, you've demonstrated your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much you love us. You've given us your spirit. You've given us your son. You've done everything possible to demonstrate your love. Now, Father, help us to begin to live out of the truth that we are wanted, that we are loved, that we are accepted, and that we belong. We've lived out of a mindset of rejection long enough. Father, thank you for exposing it today. Open our eyes to see it even more clearly in our own life, and help us this week be able, Father, to find freedom, deliverance, and healing in Jesus' name from the spirit of rejection. We are not rejected. We are accepted in you. Amen? Amen. I wish I could preach that longer. I'm going to. It's coming. So y'all come on back and get some more. Amen? Thank y'all.
Will pray with you. I'll pray with you. Chris will pray with you. John will pray with you. You need to come and pray.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart